Good evening, and welcome to A Fireside Chat. This is your host, Lance White. Today we have a delightful guest. Angela Faye Moore is a respected, reputable, and spiritual psychic from Western North Carolina. She's a frequent guest on the radio, yes, like today, on radio talk shows, and has been featured in several regional newspapers. Most recently, she was a guest on Coast to Coast with George Nuri. Let's welcome Angela to the show. How are you, Angela?
Well, hey there. I'm just fine, Lance.
Oh, good. Good. It's still you. I recognize your accent. I know this. I'm going to start out with a real basic question, only because I know that there probably are some people out there who really don't understand what a psychic is.
Okay.
Maybe you could just give us a little idea of you know, what that means.
Well, Lance, I think it means that a psychic is a person who is a little more sensitive than the average person, because I think we all have psychic ability. I mean, I've always felt that this was supposed to be a human trait,
mm-hmm.
and somehow we've gotten away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that it's about energy. All energy, as you know, vibrates, and some people are more sensitive to those vibrations than others.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I think it is for me, I interpret that energy, and hopefully it's in a meaningful way that gives people a little more insight into maybe the reasons they do the things they do or the choices they make. Or, you know, you can take it a step further, and sometimes you will pick up things from the spirit realm or other realities, other alternate realities, you might say.
Uh-huh.
You pick up thoughts sometimes. But it's just about picking up energy. And I think the difference between intuitive and a psychic is an intuitive is basically a person who picks up stuff at random, which I do. But a psychic, I think, has the intention of maybe going out and trying to retrieve information.
Huh.
And that's, you know, ways that, you know, you're able to help people sometimes, because they can ask you, okay, you know, what is this about, or can you help me with, you know, that, or, you know, you kind of go out and you take a look.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What's the best I can tell you on that?
Okay. When did you first learn about your gifts?
Well, I've always been this way, so I always knew I was this way, but my dilemma came. I didn't realize everybody else wasn't this way, which, again, I still think they are. It's just about degrees.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was a little kid, you know, I just would see things and know things, and, again, assumed everybody else did. And I had an aunt that would dream dreams, and she would come over to the house and tell us about a dream. And we knew, you know, she said something, it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a fact of life. But I really didn't realize how different I was until I was about 34, 33, something like that. Kept getting in trouble at the pharmacy I worked at because I kept knowing everybody's business. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, you know, I know, so everybody else knows, so I'm blabbing things out and getting all grades of trouble. But somebody had to kind of tell me, you know. And it was, I'll tell you what, when the lady that owned this business actually said, you know what, you are, you're psychic, that's what you are, and she likes stuff like this.
Uh-huh.
And, I cried because I respected her. I knew she was a solid person, and she confirmed what I had, you know, did feel
uh-huh.
secretly. But, you know, when she said it, it was like, thank you. I needed that confirmation because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just thought I was just outright odd there after a while. You know, but I've always seen spirits and stuff like that, not, you know, always. I mean, I can probably go into a haunted house and not feel one thing at times because I'm in a kind of a bubble, but then other times, I don't know, I go to a place that's not particularly haunted for something, for example, and I see things left and right. I kind of think it's like this, Lance. I think one world, many worlds perhaps, and they overlay one another, and sometimes, you know, I pick up those things and sometimes I don't.
Uh-huh.
You know, usually I do.
When you look at people, again, you see energy and vibrations, which I understand. I'm empathic. I'm not really, well, I don't know if I'm psychic. And I think we're all psychic to some extent.
I do.
Like you said.
I do, too.
But do you see things on, let's just say, on a soul level or spirit level? Would you say that soul and spirit are interchangeable? Or is there a spirit realm in which those who are not here anymore reside and seem to bleed through?
Yeah, I think it's like this. Now, this is just my perception, and
no.
I don't want to tell anybody else how to believe, but how I perceive it, again, it seems to be many worlds.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think there is a spirit realm, and I think there are those spirits there who are waiting for a body, perhaps, to incarnate in so that they can have this human experience and work out certain things.
Uh-huh.
And some are out there doing things to assist us, such as guides. For example, I think there's many levels. You know, some are common spirits, for example, and they're kind of in between worlds, and they really are the same as when they were alive, okay? They just are kind of slightly outside our zone, and those are ones that are kind of trying to work out things or have unfinished business, this, that, and the other, okay? Then you go up to a little bit higher level, and like I said, you might have someone who is still retaining the image of who they were, but they don't have blinders on like we do here in life, Lance. In life, we kind of see what we need to see, but we really don't get the big picture, okay? But where they are, they might get the big picture, and they may be able to help us and work out things in ways that we don't fully understand.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, Lance, this is what I feel, that when we're asleep, for example, we're probably out of our body in spirit form, in the spirit realm, working with these beings.
Yep.
And I think they help us, and I think we give up the conscious knowledge of that, but we retain the essence of that. So when we need that information, we have it.
Oh, absolutely. I used to have a friend that would tell me she was very, very sick with numerous illnesses. She'd fallen down the stairs, and she had terminal cancer. And so she was bedridden, but she used to tell me, you know, she said, Lance, I talked to you last night. You were out here in spirit form, and we talked. I said, well, what did I look like? She said, well, you know, you were in energy, but it was definitely you. And, you know, so I began to open my mind to the idea that there are, you know, that a lot of stuff happens without our, you know, conscious awareness.
Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of people tell me the same thing that you just did, too, that they say that they had experiences where other people verified the experiences, where they've woken up and seen a living person exactly the way you just did.
Mm-hmm.
And some
people
have said they see me and have felt me.
Yeah.
Now, I don't remember that, but they will. They swear you were here and that you helped me or did this. And I always find that kind of interest. My kids even say that they saw me like that before. But I think it's kind of interesting that we have this whole other life going on out there that, you know, maybe a more interesting life even in spirit. But, you know, we just have to play the game, I think, of human existence and play within the rules to a certain extent. So it's meaningful to us.
You know, you brought up something interesting, that there are probably spirits that are you know, anxious to hop into bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people I meet online talk about, you know, attacks and dark entities and stuff like that. Does that really exist, do you think, or is that just lower astral beings that are, you know, not necessarily very highly evolved?
All of the above.
All of the above, okay.
All of the above. Sometimes you have, you know, like you said, lower energies that are not evolved, that basically they just attach, and usually those will drop off. But if they do attach, a person could feel just suddenly either a great depression, because the physical body can't harbor that much energy, and it will go into a sudden, just almost suicidal depression. Or might go into great anxiety and just feel sudden anxiety, like, you know, panic, which is why, you know, sometimes people will feel like if they're around spirits or whatnot, they'll get that sense of being overwhelmed or whatever with fear, and it's a physical reaction. And then there's some spirits who, you know, they are confused. They're not really made their transition, and they see you as a light. Or they make a mistake and think, oh, you know, like, there's my body. I got to get back in there. and of course, that you can, they can't, and unless you open a door, and that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
And your whole physical being will not tolerate it. You know, you'll become very ill, and it won't work.
Mm.
But, you know, again, you have really a violent physical reaction to that.
Mm.
But then, you know, it's not like black and white. I think there's a whole lot of things that we're not going to understand. And there are a lot of, I think, beings that would be perceived as evil or dark. Maybe there's no such thing really as good and evil. Maybe it's just a matter of perspective, you know, however you want to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are things that like to toy with people, and if you open a door for that, I think they will be more than happy to accommodate you and do things to make you be uncomfortable.
So what's the point of us being here? I mean, is there a point? I mean, you know, is this really like a place where we're here to experience some lessons and some kind of life path that we've chosen prior to incarnating? Or, you know, what's your take on that?
You know, I'd hate to say, well, there's really not much of a point. Here we are and it's over. That's my big fear, Lance. I'm going to tell you. I mean, that's my deepest, darkest fear, that maybe it's just a you know, an illusion.
Yeah.
And this is something that we create to make ourselves feel better on this journey. And
yeah.
I hope to goodness this isn't it, because I've wasted a whole lot of time, you know, it has been. But my take on it is, Lance, that, well, the way I put it like this, I think that perhaps I'm going to talk about, let's say, God has this creation, okay?
Right.
And maybe and this is just a story, you know, I'm taking the creation myth that we're
right.
all familiar with, and I'm going from there, which I don't mean any offense when I say myth, because, you know, I do believe in God and all that stuff. But anyway, let's just say this story this way, because this way I explain to myself, all right?
Right.
And we have these created beings who can communicate with God, and all's good, right?
Uh-huh.
And then these created beings, humans, say, you know, it's really cool because we have everything done for us, everything's taken care of us, but it's really bad because we're like children. We can't grow, we can't learn, we really can't have a full human experience because
yeah.
we're being taken care of on every turn, okay?
Mm.
And so maybe we said, you know, we need to know what it is like to have a true full human experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe God said, well, if you do that, you're going to really have a lot of heartache and drama. And you're going to have to work really hard to find your way back, because I can't go there. You know, I'm all holy, good, and I can't go into that place.
Right.
You know, maybe we said, but we need to have this pain. We need to know. We need the freedom to choose.
Mm.
We need to know how it is to be whole.
Mm-hmm.
And he allowed us our choice. And perhaps then it takes a lot of really a lot of times, and this is just, you know, I'm not trying to make you believe anything, just the way I perceive it again. Maybe it takes a lot of times to do it, you know, to really get that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we have agreements where we agree with other spirits to do this task or that task,
mm-hmm.
to bounce off one another, to provoke one another, to force each other to have the full spectrum of the human drama.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it takes, like I said, you know, quite a bit of time. You know, and I think that's basically what it's about. And I think we have to keep trying to work our way back into that, maybe that place of saying, okay, maybe I can't do it by myself. Maybe I do need supernatural intervention and forgiveness in order to break the karmic cycle. You know, karma, what you do comes back to you. So maybe we find out, maybe there's it's almost hopeless. Maybe we have to go to a higher place. We say, you know what? I need supernatural help to let me forgive every bad thing that was done to me.
Mm-hmm.
I have to forgive every bad thing and be forgiven and be done. Maybe that's what it takes in order to break that and put us to a higher place. Now, that's just my take. And then I think like this, Lance.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps it's like Earth. It's this big amusement park. Okay, and then we got these spirits who have yet to have their turn.
Right.
And maybe they're seeing all this fun stuff and drama and all this stuff like a movie, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
all this stuff, and maybe it's all of time, it's just in one big knot, and maybe you can go anywhere at any point in time and do whatever thing you need to do, and maybe we wait in line to get this opportunity. Then we get here to Amusement Park Earth, and we get on this big roller coaster, and it's like, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? Let me out of here. You know, Lance, I think of that cartoon cat, Sylvester, okay? You know, when he's fighting that baby kangaroo and he thinks it's a big mouse?
Oh, yeah.
And he tells his friend cat, he says, okay, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to whip up on that mouse, okay? And whatever I do, don't you let me out. Lock the door, no matter how much I holler and carry on. Don't open the door because I'm going to do it. And he goes in there and immediately turns around and starts yelling, let me out, let me out. I think that's us. I think that's the human condition. I think we can't wait to get here.
Yeah.
And then we can't wait to get out sometimes. And we wonder, what were we thinking? But then, Lance, I think when we're out, we wonder, you know, I want to go back because it was kind of fun after all, and I really miss doing this, and maybe I can now, I can do this task, and maybe I can do, you know, something even better, because I learned now not to do it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe we make sacrifices, and we come down even when we don't want to, so that somebody else can get a lesson of good and evil and this and that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my take.
Well, that's kind of how I see it, too. I mean, more or less, that seems, you know, like a reasonable, logical thing to think through. And, you know, one thing I noticed a long time ago when I was involved with some psychic and intuitive networks, one time I remote viewed, and there was a murder, and it turned out to be a young boy killed a neighbor girl. And I saw it as two angels who had incarnated to enact that for some specific reason. And I know that a lot of people have angelic experiences with car accidents and various other things, or they see angels. What do you think about that?
I'll tell you a little story. Now, this lady, client of mine, and she will not mind me telling you because I do have her permission to tell this story whenever I see fit.
Oh, good.
But anyway, yeah, I would never, you know, betray a confidence, but she wouldn't mind. She would be happy that I told you. Now,
oh, good.
I'll tell you what happened to her. She had a car wreck, and she had her little adopted child in the back seat. She's a little bit older lady, and she had this little boy, and the little boy was like maybe, oh, he was just a baby, okay? About 10 months old, maybe something like that. And it was a bad wreck, okay? They flipped up and everything and went down, and she lost consciousness. Well, she tried to, you know, she started coming to, and she saw the baby. He was in the back seat, in his car seat, locked in, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he was crying for her, and she tried to reach for him, but she couldn't. I mean, she physically couldn't. She was pinned, okay? So she lost consciousness again.
Mm.
Well, back up again, the baby was in her arms.
Wow.
Okay, there was no way that she could reach. I mean, she couldn't, like, do it in a trance or nothing like that because she was physically pinned.
Wow.
And he was a baby. He was not able to, you know,
get
out of his car seat and walk up there. So she feels, as I feel, that there was an angelic presence who knew that that baby needed to be with her in her arms. And, of course, sometimes, you know, things don't turn out so wonderful. Again, maybe that's part of, you know, our plan.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think there is a plan, or like I said, you know,
yeah.
I just don't know what's the point. But
yeah, exactly.
But I thought that was a truly interesting story that I believe was about an angelic presence.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I noticed that you're also a member of Mensa, which is a group for mentally gifted people. In fact, I just did a Google on it, and it was co-founded in England in 1946 by a Dr. Lance Ware, who was a scientist and a lawyer, which I think is funny because my name is Lance White.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking maybe that was some kind of previous reincarnation or something.
Well, now, it's funny you brought that up, but I have to correct one thing.
Yep.
I'm not a member of Mensa. I just had been invited to a group of Mensas, which was really fun, which was really intimidating, too, because I'm thinking, oh, Lordy.
You're all those smart people.
Here's this bunch of geniuses going to have me come over there. What am I going to do? But they turned out to be the nicest people. And yeah, it was really, I mean, they were just so nice, and actually, several of them still come see me personally now, and I always look forward to it when they come down. But when you were talking about Lance, and you were saying, I wonder if that was a previous incarnation and blah, 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 I think, when I think of you, and I don't think this was specifically who you were, I don't know, but I hear Lance, I want to say Lance Slott. And I started thinking about that before you called, and I was wondering about, I wonder if he really was a knight. And the more I thought about it, the more I'm thinking, I think he might be. Because your energy to me, have been, rather, to me, your energy feels like, here's what I think about you. I think you own yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I need to put it. I think you have a sense of higher purpose, higher calling.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you're going to be good working with, obviously, with a large number of people because you're doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that sometimes you may have to shield yourself from the more intimate emotions, sometimes even detach. Anyway, I think that you, as I said, may experience a sense of needing to have a calling. Well, you may or may not feel it as such, but that's sort of what I get from you.
Hmm.
So when I think of Lance, I'm like I said, I'm going to Lance a lot.
It's funny because my parents, my mother gave me that name. She was an artist, and her name was Frances, and my dad's name was Arthur. So she came up with this whole thing about King Arthur and Lancelot and so on and so forth.
Well, see, there you are.
Yep. And one of my friends nicknamed me Merlin.
Oh, that's fun.
So, you know, there probably is some kind of connection there. And my handle, I call myself the Zany Mystic, so there's some kind of connection there to the old days, which kind of helps me to segue into the idea of, do you believe that we have other, I don't like the word reincarnation, but that our soul incarnates numerous times? A lot of people believe that, you know, it's just once and that's it. And I just can't seem to agree with that.
I think there's maybe one time for me to be Angela Moore.
Right.
But I think that I can't see. Even I was reared, okay, a fundamental Free Will Baptist person, okay?
Uh-huh.
So this was not part of my belief system. But even, I didn't even know about stuff like it. I was raised by my grandparents. You know, they
me
were
too.
Just, oh, well, there you are. They were just, you know, regular plain folks, you know,
yeah,
in a mill village. So, I mean,
yeah.
I was not privy to at that time, exotic ideas, okay? But, yeah, I always knew. It never occurred to me otherwise. And I remember about 11 or 12 years old, I picked up a magazine at a dentist office, and there was a story about a little boy in India who had reincarnation experience, et cetera, et cetera. There's a little article on that. You know, you've probably read it. I can't remember the details now, but it's a pretty famous story. But when I read that, it's like the light bulb came on, and it was like, aha, I get it. Everything I had felt and understood, it's like that was it. It made sense. It clicked. And so I think that, you know, more and more people, continuing on that subject, are going to believe, not because they have been taught that, but because they're going to remember or have a inner knowing.
Mm-hmm. It seems like it's really important for people to acknowledge their feelings, especially the strange ones. And, you know, that's kind of how I work on developing my own intuition is, it's that, like that little gut feeling that if you don't follow it, you take the other road, and then it's like, oh, I knew I should have done the other thing. So I just finally realized, maybe I should just listen to it and follow it, and I may not know what the results might have been, but I know that usually, like 99% of the time, they're not good.
Right.
So it's kind of like a psychic workout, you know, by following your own intuition. And I find that when I have a gut feeling, it's right on the money. And I don't know what it means. I just know that there's something there that it's there for a reason, that there's either red flags or there's something I should be aware of.
And like you said, sometimes maybe you don't even have to know. Maybe all you know is you did what you need to do, and that's enough.
Exactly. When you go out into public, do you find it difficult in picking up people's vibes and the chaotic energy of life while you're out there? Some people find it impossible, you know, shopping and all of that.
You know, it's kind of funny because I think I do the opposite of a psychic thing when I go out, and I don't do it on purpose. But I have noticed that when I go out, I live in a small town, there's not much place to go around here. So when I go out to the Walmart, okay, that's it. That's a big time for us.
Oh, God.
Okay, so when we're out walking around at Walmart or something, I can see people that I am kin to and not see them, I don't know who they are. It's like I'm in a bubble or something.
Yeah.
I saw my stepmother out there, and honest to my soul, I mean, if she hadn't come up and spoke to me, I would not have seen her. So I always tell people, if you ever see me out and I don't see you, you know, I'm not being rude. I just don't see. And I think what it is, I overly shield, and I think I do it without realizing it. But now when I have gone out when I'm tired or like I've been doing a group session or, you know, been out working in that way, okay?
Uh-huh.
And then it's difficult because it's like I see people and I know them, even if I don't know them, even if I've never met them in my life, I feel like I know them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel overly connected to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily bad. Oddly enough, like if I've been out like that and I'm in a restaurant or something, for example, and it can be like nobody in there, people will come in, and even if I'm in a corner out of the way, I am not making this up, they will gravitate and sit like right on top of me, and they'll turn and they'll grin at me. It's like I'm in the twilight zone, you know? But it's nice because, I mean, they're beaming nice thoughts, but it almost is physically painful when I'm like that. It's like sort of like I'm being a little bit shocked, but not on my physical body, but like about 3 feet, no, not that far, about a foot out, maybe. It's a very weird sensation, but that's rare. It usually doesn't happen. But I am uncomfortable a lot of times, to be honest. I don't like to mingle in social settings. Of course, now that's a lot of people and got nothing to do with being psychic, but, you know, I don't really like to socialize in large groups. I like leading a large group, like in a presentation or a group thing. That's fun. I like that, but it's different. And when you're just there and you're kind of like open and socializing in a group, I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Just out of curiosity, how did you get the name of you have a nickname, the Hillbilly Psychic, which I thought was adorable.
I will never live that down. Okay, now as you know or don't know, I wrote this little book, and if people would like to check into that, get any online major bookstore, go to your bookstore, they can order it for you if they don't have it. Okay, it's not a problem.
Mention your website address too. So
okay, it's www.angela-moore.com. You've got to put that little hyphen in there, or you can just Google psychic Angela Moore. I'll come right up.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to put the psychic in there. Otherwise, you get a representative from Georgia and an artist and a jewelry maker. But otherwise, you can just psychic Angela Moore. I'm it. But anyway, I have no idea what's going on. Oh, but yeah, my book is information's on there. But the thing is, what I started to say was when I was writing these little stories, how I got started was I was doing a little radio show, which I still do at times down here in over North Carolina, like I do.
Mm-hmm.
And they had invited me to come and read some of the little essays I had written on the air down there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I compiled them. But anyway, some of them were just these really ridiculous things that happened to me, and some of the things were psychic things and paranormal things and this and that, just all great little stories. And I was making a joke to the program director down there one day. I said, you know, I'm going to put these together in a book, and which this is not the name of my book, but this was the working title, The Adventures of a Hillbilly Psychic.
Yes.
Because honestly, that's how it reads, and it's really, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, it's sort of who I am. There it is, you know, whatever. But hillbilly in a good sense. You know, I'm just from the hills, and there it is. You can tell by listening to me, I am what I am, but and not in a derogatory way. But anyway, it was just a funny thing. And then I told another program director at another radio station, and they went with it and actually did a little show called that for a while. But some people, they got bit out of shape and said, oh, you're being demeaning, this, that, and the other. And it's like, no, it's just a name. I thought it was funny. But,
it is.
And, you know, some people, they just like think it means that, I don't know, I'm being was being derogatory to myself, but it's not. I mean, crying out loud, have a sense of humor, you know?
Exactly, exactly.
Because, like I said, if you sit with me, it's kind of apparent that I am not overly sophisticated, but that's not to say that I'm ignorant or anything like that, although my husband might disagree, I don't know.
Well, we're all ignorant. I mean, we're all a bunch of bozos on Earth.
Well, you know, I don't get out much. That's all I can say about me.
I'm kind of curious to know if you experience any kind of prophetic visions, if you have any.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I tell you what, now, I have done that on a few occasions, and I still have some visions that have not yet happened. But now, for example, I'll give you a little one. Not too long ago, maybe a couple of months ago, I'm sitting there talking to some clients, and they came to see me, and I had to stop because it felt to me like the earth was shaking.
Ooh.
It really did. And I told them, this isn't exactly prophetic, but it's similar. But anyway, I said, you know, there's an earthquake, and it's either now or very near to now. Because I get time mixed up. Everything kind of seems like right now to me, but the way it felt, I had a feeling it was very close in time. Usually it happens like right then or within the next couple of weeks when it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I think it was that very night there was a earthquake, or that very, actually it might have been about the same time I was filming, a very big earthquake. Now, I can't tell you where it was, Indonesia maybe? I can't remember. But anyway, it was on the news that day. So sometimes in that same way, when I'm just doing a reading maybe on a personal level, I'll get hit with something like that. It sort of happens best when I'm not looking. Now, I'll tell you, this was one of the bigger ones that was more prophetic. I was doing a thing with some people before 9/11, and I kept saying, you know, there's airplanes going down, and it's going to be bad. And I kept feeling something with New York and something with Florida. It was so strong. And then I was doing a group thing, and I kind of just had one of those really intense moments. And I can't really provoke those. Okay, these happen kind of naturally. And I told them, and this was on tape. Now, if I didn't have this on tape, I wouldn't tell you because I'd think I was lying. But,
right, right.
Actually, I didn't even remember saying it. The girl actually had to come back later and tell me. But it was before the election, and I had said, and I don't mean any offense by this. It's just what I said, and there it is. But I just said, an imposter will take the first election. The imposter will take the White House. And then there will be a great explosion. It will reverberate throughout the land, and a man with a white turban will be behind it all.
Huh.
So, I mean, even, like, I didn't even expect to do that. But
wow.
Then there's been a couple of other things. But now, I tell you the truth, I can't remember what they are. But other people, to be honest, I don't remember much of these things. It's not like I'm in a trance state where I can't remember them. I just don't hang on to these things.
Right,
I got other things to do, you know.
Right.
I got a life, and I can't just live in whatever I said. But other people, now, Lance, they come back and they tell me, and they make notes, or they tape, or they remember. And so I'm glad too. I'm gonna tell you, because you know, sometimes I'm gonna tell you the truth. I think, well, you know, I'm just crazy. This isn't even true. I can't do this. This is impossible. You know, and I think, I don't even believe in psychics. You know, it's crap. And I get like that. And I think, you know, then somebody will come in and say, according to my notes, you told me this, this, and this, and all this is exactly the way you explained it. And or you know, something will happen, and I'll think, dang, I am good. But, you know, I'm a human, and I battle with all this stuff just like everybody else does.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, you know, a lot of people feel that these are, I hate to use the word, but they're either end times or revelation times or, you know, Mayan prophecy is going to be the calendar ends at 2012 and all that. So, you know, I'm just wondering if you run across any of that kind of feeling.
Yeah, I do sometimes. I like to think positive, though, Lance, because we don't know time. And sometimes I wonder if Earth is hurtling itself through time only to be destructed, and then maybe we all get hurtled back to the beginning and we do it again. I mean, that's just one thought I have sometimes, that maybe we're actually in some sort of time cycle. And then sometimes I wonder if we are actually alien hybrids who destroy planet after planet, and we look out to space to find a certain class of planet that will harbor this type of spirit so we can incarnate on different planets.
Yeah.
So I get out there sometimes, Lance. I get out there in my mind a little bit. But,
sometimes I
wonder about these things.
Yeah, me too. You know, some people are theorizing that, you know, there was a planet that, named Maldek, that was destroyed by, spirits who had reached a certain level of civilization, and that they reincarnated here on Earth. And here we have wars, you know, building up. I mean, we're right on the verge of, you know, several nuclear wars right now.
I know. And I want to tell you the truth. A few years ago, it might have been back back in 92 or something like that, when we were having some of the Middle East trouble back then. I'll tell you the truth. I was walking through my house, and I heard something on the radio and the news, and the first thing I thought was, now this is kind of off the wall, was, I'm so glad I had my kids, okay? Because the first thought that came to my mind was, I was glad that I had got to be a parent and have kids, because I guess that was the most important thing for me to do.
Yeah.
Because that was my life, you know, for the first, you know, when they were little and all this, right?
Yeah.
And it shocked me that I thought that. So evidently what I was feeling at that time was the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like to think positive. I don't want to be a negative person. I figure about some things, wave. My luck is that by the time I hit the big time, Lance, the asteroid will hit Earth.
Just
to stop me in my tracks. But,
I know.
You know, but to be honest,
I
do feel like we're right on the, we're on the edge.
Yeah.
And
it does feel that way, doesn't it?
If somebody doesn't wake up, I mean, if we as a human race don't wake up and realize that, again, we are hurtling towards the end, I think we're in big trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree with you. And it does seem like, you know, it does seem like people are just not waking up as fast as I'd like them to.
Well, you know, I don't think that we tend to learn very well. I mean,
with
our history, you know, as a human race, I don't think that... we are really up to speed when it comes to being people who learn from our mistakes.
Well, apparently not, because we keep doing the same stupid stuff over and over and over. Would you notice any common obstacles or foibles that we, with your clients in particular, that we all tend to use to disempower ourselves with?
Okay, that's a good point. I think what we do, we have to learn how to control our thoughts, or, you know, our thoughts control us. And I think what we have to understand is we have to pay attention, first of all, to cycles. Just like we're talking about mankind, paying attention to the cycle of mankind, to our history, we have to pay attention to our personal history.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to sometimes take time out to reflect and ask ourselves, have I learned anything or not?
Mm-hmm.
And if we've not, maybe we better stop what we're doing and maybe think, you know, maybe I should put out a prayer, a meditation, whatnot, that says, let me think about what I can do to maybe figure out what it is I'm doing right, what I'm doing wrong. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think once we do that, we need to start saying, okay, now in order to create a better future for myself personally, and then if I'm happy, I think I make other people happy. And if other people are happy, they tend to make other people happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take one miserable person, they can bring down the whole room. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think that the same thing is, you know, maybe by just taking care of our one little corner, maybe we can create a ripple effect. But we've got to pay attention to what we learn. And then we have to pay attention to what we say, our thoughts, because our words betray how we're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of, our spirit, our inner child, whatever, hears what we're saying, and it reaffirms that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to, you know, take note and say, okay, I have to start saying things
that I wish to create as if it were already happening. I need to say I'm a joyful person, even if I don't feel that way.
Right.
I can make a difference, even if I don't think I can.
Right.
And when you keep saying these things and listening to what you're saying and start taking note of patterns, then we can start recreating our destiny. I think we can go to a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard sometimes, you know, it's to break old patterns. You know, we feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
And doing what is familiar. But I'm telling you, when you start really paying attention to the things you say, I mean,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you'll be surprised that, you know, we're constantly being negative,
mm-hmm.
and we thwart. We thwart our own purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. You're so right about that. Now, your book is called Through Angela's Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to share a story from your book that might be entertaining?
Well, let me see. I guess I could. Let me think of one here. You know, I thought before we talked, I thought, you know, he's going to ask me to tell him a story, and I don't think I've got a single one I want to say. Let me think. One that's interesting.
Is this like the Oracle in the Matrix where Neo says, oh, you knew I was going to say no and I didn't want that cookie or something, or I was going to break that vase?
I have one, guys.
Oh, did somebody else just pop in?
Oh, I don't know.
Yes. You guys actually have a caller.
Oh, okay.
Hi.
Hi. Who is this?
This is Leilani.
Hi, Leilani. Do you have a question for Angela?
I was really intrigued with the name of her show called Hillbilly Psychic.
Uh huh.
I just love that, Angela.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to hear it was going over pretty well with you. I think some of the true hillbillies out here where I live actually liked it too, but I think it was the transplanted ones that weren't too fond of it. But thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I have a lot of strong ties in Georgia. And so I've been all up through North Carolina and Alabama, and it's really interesting because I have a southern draw as well. So that's a very catchy name, the Hillbilly.
Thank you. I hope it does catch on now that you say that. That makes me feel better.
Why?
The whole thing. I think, you know what? I can't believe that that's, you know, I don't know. I tend to worry about things sometimes, you know, but I kind of got beat up about it by a couple of people, and I think it just kind of made me feel kind of funny because, like I said, I thought it was funny.
Hmm.
But, you know.
Well, I love hillbillies.
Well, there you go. I do,
too. I do, too.
So is there anything we can help you? I can help you with while you're on the phone, if it's okay with Lance.
Yes, absolutely.
What did you say? I'm sorry.
I said, if it's okay with Lance, if you want, would you like to ask anything?
Well, basically, I just wanted to meet you because I really liked your energy.
Oh, that's so nice.
Isn't she wonderful?
Yes, she really is. And then, well, I just felt that energy, and you're real high, upbeat, very excited.
Oh, that's so
and
nice.
And so forth. And it's very refreshing.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. My husband, when he hears this, he's probably going to chuckle, though, because he knows how I am. And
but I think most men are like that, don't you think?
Well, some of them can be. Actually, I better say in his defense, he is. He's just a sweetie. He really, really is.
Well, I thank you for allowing me to chit-chat with you for a moment. I'm really enjoying the show.
Oh, thanks, Leilani.
You're welcome.
Thank
Have
you.
A good night, both of you.
Oh,
thank you. She had a nice voice, didn't she, Lance?
Yes. Isn't that wonderful? You know, it's funny because I was listening to George Norrie's show, which is actually where I heard you the first time, and I was thinking, you know, it might be interesting to take calls. And I don't usually take calls on the show, but, you know, if a call comes through, it's fine to take it, and, you know, it's a nice way of being in touch with people. And it's very spontaneous as well, because you really don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever get called in on to do police work? And also, you didn't finish your story.
Oh, yeah. My husband's here, actually, James. I may run into the other, which there's stories in there about James, too, and I'm going to tell you,
okay.
That man's different, okay?
Okay.
But just so you know, that's actually written in there as well. And I'm going to tell you one quick little story right here, and this is a very quick one, and then remind me what you just asked me, because I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't know if it's being a psychic, being me, or just a matter of menopause, but I can't remember nothing no more.
Me too.
But anyway, tomorrow's our anniversary, actually.
Oh,
and,
Happy anniversary.
Well, thank you. And that reminded me of a little story, and this is not one of my more eerie or spooky or prophetic stories, and this is not even a whole story. I'll just tell you one little thing that happened with him, though. That is, we were just dating. It was actually our first date, right? And we went out, and he said he wanted to buy me a little something. And I knew he's different now, okay, which I like different. But anyway, he had me sit out in the car, and he went on into, at the time it was the Revco drugstore, and I'm sitting up there thinking, okay, what's he going to get me? They got perfume, they got candy. I'm not really a girly girl. I am to a certain extent, but, you know, I really was thinking, oh, I hope it's, I'd rather have the chocolate, so I hope he doesn't get perfume, you know, stuff like that. So he comes out, he's trotting up there, and he's all happy because he's got me something in a little bag, and he brings it out there and gives it to me and tells me to go ahead and open it and see what it is. You will never guess. It was a pencil sharpener, Lance.
Oh, my goodness.
The man got me a pencil sharpener. Now, I have to tell you, it's the kind you mount onto a wall, and it's bright purple, and I like that. Still got it. Wouldn't take nothing for it. But I tell you, right then, that's when I figured out I got a strange man. I tell you what, he's a little bit younger than me. He was born in 1966, and I read somewhere that there was an inordinate amount of UFO sightings about that time of the year when he was born. I thought, I don't know how, Lance, but somehow those sightings and his birth, somehow it's got to be connected because it would explain a lot.
Oh, yes. Do you, have you ever seen a UFO or do you believe?
Oh, honey.
I am really getting into them right now, in fact.
Me too. And I'm going to tell you why. Okay, here's your little prophecy, okay?
Okay.
I believe. And, you know, it's funny because I actually heard myself saying this morning. Didn't know who's going to be saying it to. Now I know it's you. I believe deeply that there are going to be more and more sightings. Now,
yep.
I believe throughout history it's been that way, but I think it's on hyperdrive now.
Oh, yes.
And I believe that they are many different species, races, whatever you want to say. I think they each have different purposes with us. Now, that's one little thing I wrote about, and I'll tell you right there. What happened on that deal was, Lance, this was kind of a strange thing, but I woke up one time. And it was like I thought that my phone was actually in the bed. I went to sleep. It was in the bed. And I thought that, you know how it makes a funny noise sometimes if you're able to?
Yeah.
And I was kind of groggy, and I thought that was what I was hearing.
Uh-huh.
And then I thought I had dialed a fax machine or something.
Oh.
By mistake, you know how that sounds.
Yeah.
And I picked it up. Again, I'm real groggy, and there was nothing wrong with the phone. It was not doing that. That was not the noise. And then I look, and I see beside the bed in the dark now what appeared to be a tall, not tall, but two beings, one taller than the other.
Mm.
Okay, now I saw it, and one of them had to seem to have a strap over his arm. And again, it was very dark. I was very, very groggy, and I didn't feel afraid. I didn't, which is strange because I actually jump at everything. Okay, but it made me. It just felt like, oh, so that's what they sound like. And that was the thought that was in my head, and that was it. That's all she wrote. Now I don't remember anything else, but that was one little thing that happened. Now, my daughter was sitting on the back porch at this place, same place, and she was on the phone with one of her little friends when she was a teenager, and she looks up in the sky, and she sees this little light, and she's telling her friend, well, it's getting bigger and bigger. Now, there was a little airport not far from there, you know, a little tiny airport, and sometimes you might see something like that, but it kept getting bigger, and she was telling, again, her friend about, look at that light, what is that? And that was it. The phone went dead. The girl couldn't call her back. She didn't know what happened. Next morning, my daughter wakes up in her room. The light was on. I actually went up during the night and saw her in there with the light on and turned it off. But she had no memory whatsoever of going to bed. She doesn't remember how she got there. All she remembers is talking to her friend. The last thing she remembers is talking about that light.
Oh, my.
But, oh, man, I tell you what, now, that place where we lived, and that's the place here in this town, Marion. I'm in Marion, North Carolina. I'm telling you right now, that place on that hill there was all grades of supernatural stuff going on, and I'm not the only one that experienced it, so I'm not afraid to tell you. I'm afraid to tell you some stuff because, you know, it's like I can't prove it. I can't back it up.
Yeah.
But there's some stuff.
You
know,
can tell me.
Stuff there.
It's just between us.
Yeah, just us. But I'll tell you another little story if you want to hear one.
Sure, I'd love to.
And I'm just telling you, now, they're written a little bit better than what I'm telling you naturally, but
I'll
tell you about one of the first times I ever saw a spirit. And wasn't one of the first time, but it was one of the first times, okay? And it's when my kids was little, and my ex-husband and I, we were walking around, and it was like, I hate to say this, Lance, but it's a dark and stormy night. But it really was. I have noticed that inordinate amount of my the things that happen to me either happen around midnight or on a dark and stormy night. It's embarrassing, but it's true. What can I say? So anyway, we're walking. It was heat lightning, really, is what it was. But anyway, we were walking home, and my little girl at that time, I have two kids, but my little girl, boy, hadn't been born yet. Little girl was about, I don't know, two, something like that, but she's almost walking. Well, my husband went on up ahead to get the car and come back and get us because she's getting whiny and this and that. And I was getting tired. And anyway, we were walking around, and we had come around the corner of this little house. Little, actually, it was a mobile home. And in front of it, there was bushes and this little cement table with the little cement chairs. You know, I'm sure you've seen them like that. Well, anyway, I see. Oh, and I have to tell you, though, I was wearing, at the time, these really short shorts, which I'm telling you for a reason. The reason was I would not have worn them out during the day because, you know, I was a mom now, and, you know, I did have some decency about me, so I didn't want to wear them out, you know, because I was being embarrassed, okay, because they were really short. But it was, like I said, it's really late at night. Who cares? But anyway, I see her, and she was an older lady, and she was wearing these glasses that kind of come up like the Far Side kind of glasses, you know, on that part. And so I see that. And I was embarrassed because she's about the age of my grandparents, you know, and I would have been embarrassed. So I started to say, I did say, oh, Lordy, I didn't know I was going to run into anybody, but I didn't get that far. I got about half of that sentence out, and I stopped right in the middle of my sentence, Lance, because she looked shocked at me, which is why I was apologizing, because she looked like she was appalled at what I was wearing. It's like, you know, but she disappeared. She disappeared. And I saw her like I'm looking at James right now, okay? But she faded from view, and she actually, as I said, looked shocked to see me. And I think what it was, she just wasn't expecting to see me. Well, anyway, I'll tell you what happened. Next day, the little boy across the street came over, and I said, has anybody died around here lately? And he said, well, yes, his aunt had just died the day before. And I said, where did she live? And he said, down there in that trailer. I said, what'd she look like? Well, she's an older lady, and she wore glasses, and they came kind of up to a point on the sides.
Oh my goodness, I realized.
And I think what it was, Lance, I think she was just there maybe enjoying her yard. Maybe the last time, and maybe I disturbed her. Of course, I, being young and whatnot, I thought it was all about me, you know. But I think I just kind of disturbed her.
Maybe she didn't know she was dead yet.
I kind of think she did because the way she reacted when she saw me, I think maybe she didn't mean to be seen. I think she was kind of ready to go. She was just maybe saying, you know, goodbye.
And her last vision is of you and your
son. You're my short shorts. That's sad, ain't it? That's sad.
So funny. I love that.
I sure hope she had another episode before after that.
Well,
but
there's going to be some gossip about you on the other side.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Now, hey, I was young. I was hot. So whatever, you know. Looking back on it now.
When you got it, flaunt it.
And well, back
you know,
then, maybe. I had it at once.
It ain't coming back.
That, and it's the truth, honey. And it's the truth.
I'm telling you. I was going to ask you about whether you did some police work or not.
Hey, that's what was good for you, Lance. Actually, I do a little bit. Now, you know, like I said, I don't live in exactly a high-crime area around here, so, you know, we don't have all that much. But been working with actually a lady from a neighboring county trying to locate this one guy. I know where he is, but I just, you know, I'm having difficulty finding him because I honestly believe he doesn't want to be found. And, you know, I think I might have told that story before about, you know, we went up there and I felt like he told me where to go. And everything I was saying was verifiable, so I know I was on the right thing. But I felt a strong resistance that he didn't want to be found.
Yeah.
And what happened was then the late his wife actually reported after that. She didn't even know I'd been up there. She didn't know anything about that. Said he'd come to her in a dream. Actually, a police person relayed this back to me and had said the same thing, that he did not believe he was dead. And so I think that where he is, there's no time, and he's just not ready. And and he's, I guess, finding his remains would prove that he's gone, and he doesn't want to have it. But I had another case not too long ago, neighboring county again, and the law came to me, and the actual boy's family came to me, and I was able to give them some information, which did turn out, and it actually did, was everything I said was accurate, and they said I helped, and that made me happy and whatnot to be able to help. But, you know, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. You just never know till you try. I know, you know, I don't make any claims. I don't know if I can help. All I can do is say, well, this is what I feel, and, you know, see what happens.
Yeah, I've done that a couple of times and had some, you know, reasonable luck with it. But, you know, it's funny. I thought, well, if I keep doing this, I'll get good at it, and then I'll be stuck. And I didn't want to be stuck doing psychic work, you know. but do you find that there's something in particular that people come to you, something that a thread that people have in common who are coming to you for your services?
Most of them are in a state of transition or change,
uh-huh.
growth. Many of them will be involved with relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that seems to be number one.
Yeah.
But see, relationships, they mirror us. They reflect us. They tell us who we are and where we are, and that's why we crave them, because we get them, we see what's going on with us at that particular stage.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes we have an agreement with people, and we've got to work out these things, and we can't understand, you know, this person's horrible. Why can't I get away?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because there's some sort of work to be worked out. Sometimes you'll get what that work is, and sometimes you won't. Maybe you'll get it in hindsight.
Mm.
But mostly I think my job is to help people through a time of transition and with insight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes people want to know a little bit about the future. Sometimes I can help you with that. But a lot of times I'm going to tell you, I think you can create much of it. You know, sometimes I tell you the truth now. It's not been real good. Sometimes, you know, people have come and I thought, for example, this, let me tell you a little story.
Yeah.
Now, this is not in my book, okay?
Okay.
But she would not mind me telling you, okay?
Okay.
But this girl came to see me, and she had been living the what you call the life, okay? And she's so, I don't know if you know what that is, but, you know, she, you know what that is.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, and she had been in drugs and this, that, and the other. She'd lost her kids, and she'd been actually in jail for a while.
Mm-hmm.
She'd come see me. She'd be high, you know. And believe me, I see people from all walks of life, including very professional people and everything else, okay. But this is one of the people that was on the other end, and that's God's child, too. Okay,
yeah,
anyway, she came to see me, and her and a friend. And I told them, there's something special about this girl, too, okay. But anyway, I told them, I said, there is, you're going to come to a bad end, which you didn't have to exactly be psychic to know that.
Right.
Right. But it was very profound. It was more than me just being a mother hen.
Right,
okay.
Right.
It was a vision. I knew it was bad. And I told them, and they wanted me to tell them, and
yeah.
I don't want to go around making really awful statements like this. I want you to understand this special case, okay?
Yeah.
And I felt like I needed to because I wanted it not to happen.
Right, right.
And I told him, I said, for the one girl, I said, I feel like you're going to be in a parking lot and these guys are going to come along. They're going to try to get in your car. And I gave him a big description. It was really detailed. And I said, whatever you do, don't do it. Walk away.
Uh-huh.
And the other one, I said, I feel like you're going to end up being shot. You know,
wow.
I just feel, you know, it's by man and it's got real bad. You need to stop what you're doing. Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. They come to see me so often. And I don't know. It's just something about this girl. I really liked her. Well, anyway, like I said, she did straighten up. She cleaned up. She cleaned up. She went back to school. She got a nice job.
Huh.
She got reconciled with her kids. She was married. She was one of my really people I was really proud of. And she'd call me, and she'd call me, and she'd say, you know, do you still see that bad thing? And I'd say, yeah, you know, but it's not as bad, you know. And she always asked me, but, you know, I'd always just tell her the same thing because I did still see it, and I wasn't going to lie. But it was very dim, and I kept thinking, you know, well, she's doing so good. Everything's good now. Kind of felt foolish, to be honest, I even said that. But, you know, I was kind of proud of her. And then 5 years later, she calls me one day, and she says, you're not going to believe this. You know what she told that girl? Well, it happened, but she did. She remembered. The minute she started getting the car, she remembered what she said. She walked away, and that car had been in a really bad accident later.
Oh, my
And so she
goodness.
Was telling me. She's so excited. And then she's telling me, you know, I just want to tell you I love you and love everything you did for me, and I'm going to be able to see you and this and that and whatnot. And she hung up. And then I told my husband, the minute she hung up, I said, you know, it's funny. It's the first time she didn't ask me, the first time did I still see that bad thing.
Oh.
And I said, I'm glad she didn't ask me because I still do. But anyway,
yeah.
I didn't think more about it. Well, honey.
Yeah,
that very weekend, her husband shot her and killed her.
What happened?
She was shot and killed by her husband.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, and that's the end of that story. It upset me so bad. Because,
oh,
but that's
goodness.
The story I go to illustrate.
Wow.
That some things are destiny.
Yes.
And I think it was her destiny.
Yeah.
The other girl
yeah.
did everything I told her. But she was saved, okay?
Yes. Yes.
So maybe sometimes it's
yes.
a choice, and sometimes it ain't.
Yep.
It isn't. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, anyway, I'm going to tell you what I did after that. I mean, it was really upsetting. But after that, I started collecting little, you know, women that travel and stuff. And to my clients, they get them little things from hotels, some little shampoo bottles and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
They bring them to me, and I haul them over there to the women's shelter, a homeless shelter, and I do it in her name.
Oh.
And I felt like if I did that, it would help honor her because she had been in a place like that before, and they like that little stuff, you know, and they need it. They need
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And it's free, and it don't hurt nothing, and I do it, like I said, in her name to honor her. And I, after I started that idea, I woke up one night, and she's standing beside my bed in spirit, and I saw her. I could see through her. But again, I didn't feel afraid, because sometimes I do feel afraid.
Uh-huh.
But it felt loving, and she was just smiling at me, and I felt so good. I know she was happy that I did that.
Oh, that is a wonderful story. You know, when you mentioned about, you know, living the life, I've definitely had my moments in the past, too, and I know that there's a major epidemic in drugs and speed use, and it even seems to be hitting in some of the little rural towns now back in the Midwest and becoming quite a problem. Do you think that interferes with people's spiritual evolution, like, you know, alcohol?
Yes, indeed. It thwarts you.
Mm-hmm.
It lowers your resistance to the dark energies. It
mm-hmm.
opens portals that don't need to be open.
Mm-hmm.
It is a modern-day plague. It
mm-hmm.
is.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But I had to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an interesting question. Do you find when you start to read people, do you find that their husband or their close relationships were with them in previous lives, like the husband might have been a sister or a son in a previous life, and that people
yeah.
tend to group together as soul groups?
I tell you, people run with the same bunch. And
run with
that can be a
kind of
a depressing thought if you think about it. It's like, you know, you have to go through lifetime after lifetime, and it's still the same bunch of people.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I think we do. We have groups, and we trade off, and we do different things. So it doesn't have a sex, you know. It's just you're a light being, okay?
Yeah.
You're a spiritual being having a human,
humor.
And sometimes humorous experience. And, I think we interchange and we do these things to work out different tasks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And a lot of times these other people in our group, they don't show up into our lives until we're about 35 or so.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they may have always been in our life, but maybe you'll start seeing them with new eyes or having a new purpose.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, that certainly would tend to indicate that we do go on after death in some way and before we get here, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that what is temporary is this physical being.
Right. It's all this stuff that we see. I guess that's a good way to look at all the changes that are occurring right now, too, because politically it seems that, you know, if we buy into what's going on, it's kind of scary.
Yeah, I think you're going to be right about that statement, and I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. We won't go any further with that one. Do you have a funny story to tell about somebody that, anything funny? That, well, actually, everything's been kind of humorous, but.
Well, I think if I was to tell one of my more humorous stories, I'll tell you one of my more embarrassing tales.
Oh, good. I love those.
God, this is sad. It's what it is. I honestly have got to get a life at some point.
Oh, you're wonderful.
Maybe these things won't happen. Well, thank you, honey.
Okay.
But I tell you, this is one of my more embarrassing tales, and, I'll tell you this one, okay?
Okay.
This is one that is in my book, and, again, you can check that out on my website or whatever. But anyway, I had a client coming to see me, and I was trying to get the house cleaned up, you know, and I was doing this stuff, and, you know, sometimes people will call and make an appointment or whatnot, and I'm dusting this and that. Anyway, I was wearing a sweater. And it was a V-neck sweater, and I didn't have a shirt on under, didn't need it. But it's sort of like the hotter I would get, the sweater would loosen up and get looser and looser.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of, well, I'm going to say I'm blessed in that way, okay, because I got kind of, you know, the bosom thing going on. Unfortunately, it's the kind that small children want to gather around, you know, it's kind of that kind. But anyway,
right.
I'm thinking, well, maybe I better change shirts with this, because this guy is kind of the kind of guy that likes women, you know, and all women. So
right.
I thought, you know, but then I thought, oh, what the heck? It's just, well, what's his name, you know? And, you know, it's not that bad. So anyway, I'm kind of busy and everything, and I get distracted. And finally he gets there, and I open the door. Well, the first thing I know is he's looking at my cleavage. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I should have put on another shirt, you know, after all. But then I'm thinking, what the heck? You know, I mean, I'm getting older. It's nice to be noticed in that way.
Yeah.
So he comes in. And then I notice he's looking at me again right there, and I'm thinking, oh, well, this is a little bit uncomfortable, but, hey, you know, I got it, so what, you know. But I kind of adjust my shirt and this and that. Another little bit later, I'm telling you, he's staring again at my boots, and I'm thinking, okay, I should change shirts, okay, I get it. Well, anyway, I'm talking. About that time, the phone rings, the house phone, okay, it rings, and I looked to my left, and then I looked to my right, and then I looked in the middle. It was sticking in my cleavage the entire time. And
oh,
I don't mean my cell phone, honey. I mean my big old cordless house phone. So, you know, I just said, you know, wait a minute, I'll get there. It was awful.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Welcome to my world.
It's hilarious, Angela. Well, you know what? We had so much fun, we're out of time already.
Well, that went by quick, didn't it?
Didn't it go fast? That
it
was a
sure
great
did.
Story. I love that.
Thank you.
Your book is called Through Angela's Eyes, and mention your website again for people to check that
surely
out.
Surely. It's www.angela-moore.com, or just do a search for Psychic Angela Moore, and you'll find me.
Exactly. Well, Angela, thank you so much for being with us. You've been delightful.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. And be sure and stay tuned, everybody, for my friend Liz Miller's Otherwhere show. It's absolutely riveting. It's even better than mine, sometimes. So until next time, this is your host, Zany Mystic, wishing you all the very best. And thanks again, Angela.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.